Getting your text messages at 312-981-7200, 630 area code. It's like Groundhog Day. Learn piano, like Bill Murray's character. Okay. Learn a language. It's not a bad idea. I mean, this is, we mentioned this earlier, being sheltered with your family. There's a learning curve there. We're all learning new boundaries. We're learning about quiet time. People are anxious. They are stressed. They feel isolated. Joining us is our good friend and professional therapist, Tiffany Louise, on the phone with us. We thought we'd bring you on today just to kind of talk people through all of this. How are you?
I'm well. I'm practicing what I preach. So I'm hoping to be helpful today to those of us who are feeling anxious and struggling in quarantine with our loved ones. So it's a very timely topic.
Well, Tiffany, I think it's the unknown, because there's no end game here yet. So here we are, we're sheltered, and we just have to wait. That's why people are getting anxious. Am I right?
I think so, but I also think we have specific fears, but what we don't do is get specific about them. So we're told on many levels, don't be afraid. And we hear this sort of all over the media. But fear is actually really healthy and really normal in this case. If we didn't feel fear, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble in our lives. So fear is normal, fear is healthy. But when we deny it, when we resist it, it only grows. So when we look at our fear and we break it down and we get really specific, and this is something that we're afraid to do, because if we label it, we feel like it'll cause us to crumble. But we crumble when we don't label the fear. We crumble when we don't feel the feeling. We crumble when we avoid it, when we stuff until we explode. So I think there's a lot of, you know, very basic fears that people are encountering right now. One, fear of economic security, fear right. of job loss, fear of how it's impacting their business. Two, fear for their own health and the health of their loved ones, right? And yep. then this, I think, a collective empathetic response to the suffering that's going on right now. So I think the first step, and I know it sounds simple, but a lot of what I teach is sometimes the most simple thing that can create such great outcomes is, I feel afraid. It's okay that I feel afraid. It's normal too. And it actually means I have something that matters so much, I'm fearing losing it, and label what your fear is. I'm afraid of what's going to happen with my health. Okay, valid. So then what are you going to do? How? And that's the difference between fear that becomes paralyzing and fear that becomes productive. Fear can be mobilizing. It can help you prepare. It can help you take action to get yourself to a safer place. And so I think what we're seeing is, you know, and that's where all this discord is, like, some people are preparing and some people are freaking partying on spring break in
right.
Florida. And it's like, how can we take our fear, those of us who are experiencing it, say, okay, I'm afraid for my family. What can I do to prepare? Get supplies, talk to my loved ones who are still moving around the world and need to stay put, and taking action. Because the big thing about anxiety is to do the work to take care of what we can and then surrender what we can't. And I think a lot of times we get so paralyzed by fear that we don't get to the point of taking care of what we can and then letting go.
Well, we all lie to ourselves, Tiffany. Do we write this stuff down? Because you always encourage making a journal or writing a few things down.
Yeah, I think write it down. And one, another thing is, right, we're in isolation. Call someone, connect, pick up. And this is much more normal, I think, in gender stereotypes for women to do. But pick up the phone and say, I just want to talk this out. Get on FaceTime. I'm feeling afraid. Speak it. Give it, you know, a place to receive compassion. And yeah, write it down so we can say, I'm afraid of this. And what can I do to take care of myself around that? And what can I do to accept how powerless we are? And I'm going to get a little, like, philosophical at this point, but I think what this is causing us to do is confront the daily reality of how vulnerable and fragile this life is.
Right.
This happens. This is every day. Every time we get in the car, health things could happen to our loved ones at any point. But what's happening is this is collectively causing us to confront that. And the beautiful thing is, when we confront that, when we write it down, when we get clear about it, it can cause us to show up in our lives in a different way. I don't know about you, but when I'm faced with the reality of how fragile life is and how my loved ones aren't promised to me a week from now, I show up differently.
Yeah.
I pick up the phone. I don't forget to call them back. I'm more conscientious. I send gifts and cards, and I tell them. I never let a phone call go without telling them how much I love them. So the beautiful part is, if we face the fear and we allow our humanity in that moment, we can connect on a deeper level to this life, and then we can feel more present in the moment, which is all we're ever promised. right?
We talked to the mayor about this a half hour ago. People are checking in with each other now, especially with seniors. I mean, that's what's changed is I'm getting messages out of the blue from people that I haven't heard from in days, months, years saying, hey, just doing a well-being check. Are you okay? And I love that we're all doing that now.
Isn't it beautiful? I've heard that. I've watched that happen all over social media. People saying, interestingly, I'm quarantined, but I feel more connected to those around me than ever before. And I believe that that's the gift that we can use this wake-up call to recognize, am I connecting with what my values are? If relationships are the most important to me, does my life reflect that? Am I outside of myself checking on those who are perhaps more vulnerable than me? And when we show, and this, here's the beautiful thing about facing the fear and the anxiety and then showing up in our values. When we show up in our values, we feel more peace because we're living in alignment. And we trust that whatever happens, at least I've shown up how I can, right?
Yep.
So that actually is a balm to some of this anxiety. So I love to see that. I'm doing the same, you know, making FaceTime dates and checking in on people. And so it is the gift in this, you know, tragedy.
We're talking with therapist Tiffany Louise. When my mother gets stressed, she cooks. When my wife gets stressed, she cleans. And when I was leaving today, she was cleaning her closet. And I'm like, Sarah, you just need to relax. And she's like, this is how I relax. This is what I do. This is what I do. Are women more prone to fear and men less sympathetic?
Yes. And this is something that I've noticed dramatically. This is sort of putting a magnifying glass on the different ways men and women cope. Now, the difference when we're born is negligible in the fear response and the shame response for men and women. But as we grow and as our culture works and as we're socialized, there's a dramatic difference in the way, and this is in general terms, that men and women process shame and fear. Women are much more triggered by fear, and men are much more triggered by shame. And so how this works is, and I think about a woman's life, a woman, and I compare myself to my husband. My husband's 6'7", 250 pounds. He's running around the world not feeling a whole lot of fear, right? He doesn't have to worry about someone following him after the gym, or did he shut the garage door, or does he have his pepper spray in downtown Chicago?
Yeah.
So for many women, we live in an experience of fear. And here's the key. From the beginning of time, women have this tend and befriend instinct, which is to collectively come together in community because that is how women survived. And so we have much more fear around not feeling connected to those around us, fear of health and safety issues than men do. Men are much more triggered by a sense of shame around their purpose and sort of their esteem. And so this nuanced thing gets played out. Women feel afraid, and they'll say something like, we need to sanitize the lock, you know, the doorknobs on the house.
Right.
And a man who doesn't feel that level of fear feels triggered. Maybe he feels ashamed that his wife doesn't feel safe and he doesn't know how to help her. Maybe he doesn't understand how she doesn't feel safe, so he feels annoyed. Maybe there's so many things that be going on, and then instead of meeting her with compassion and understanding her fear shows up different than his, he's like, that's so silly. You know, nobody's going to get it. This is dumb. And so this sort of difference in the way we see the world and the way we experience fear is really showing up in people's relationships, especially because we're all in such close quarters. And the understanding this is the key to healing it. Because when men can put themselves in a woman's shoes and say, she experiences this in a different way, she sees the world in a different way, you can go up to her and hold her and comfort her in a way that doesn't dismiss her, right?
This is why I like to have you on, because you remind me of these things. We talked to Dr. Oz about this, and he mentioned that when you order a pizza, the pizza box could possibly have the virus on it, so get the pizza out of the box and throw away the box and wash your hands. I mean, this is what my wife's been talking about, the pizza box. We did carry out food this week. She's like, I don't even want to touch the bag. I'm like, Sarah, just wash your hands. And I wasn't sensitive. What we need to do, we all need to do this. We need to step back and take a beat. Just hold it a second before you react, because we're all anxious right now.
Yes. And her fear response is because she is concerned for her pack and she is doing everything that she can to protect you.
Right.
And it's true. You know, I had the same argument in my house. I'm Lysoling every grocery delivery from Costco, and my husband's rolling his eyes. But when I can step out of my reaction to him and say, hey, this is where it's coming from. I love you. I don't know what would happen to me if you got sick. I'm doing this because I'm watching all this and I'm trying to protect us. Then we're not so irritated, right? Because always, usually, especially in romantic relationships like this or parent-child, it's the fear is because you love someone.
Right.
We don't have fear over things that we don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing, you know, so you can take a beat and be a little bit more graceful with your wife who just loves you and wants the pizza box clean.
Therapist Tiffany Louise on for a few more minutes. I wanted to ask you about scheduling because tomorrow, my son's been on spring break and tomorrow he starts e-learning. So here we are, we're putting together a schedule. Once you get on a schedule, I think once things become more structured, things get better too. Am I right or am
You're
I off track?
Right.
Okay. All right.
So, and anyone who's a parent knows this. They know that we're doing things for our children that they may not like to do, but are good for them, right? It's not good for a child not to have structure. It's not good for them to play all day and watch TV all day and eat all the gummy bears they want. They might like it in the moment, but ultimately they don't feel safe and contained in it. And frankly, as adults, we're the exact same way. And I think we watch ourselves expect that we'll fall into a natural structure, but for many of us, when we don't have the structure of the office or it's not imposed in our lives, we struggle to do it for ourselves. But doing it for ourselves can make such a difference in our mental health. Showing up, you know, to your work at home office on a schedule, making sure, hey, I'm going to check out at lunch and go get some fresh air if you're in a place where you can walk around outside and not interact with other people.
Right.
Or I'm going to take a moment to have lunch and I'm going to stop when I'm scrolling. I'm going to stop watching the same news, you know, information over and over again, because once I've learned it once, then it's just repetition and fear-mongering. So a schedule gives us structure, and
yep,
people just feel safe in structure.
When my son said to me last week, Dad, I don't even know what day it is, I thought to myself, I can't wait until Monday. We're going to put together a schedule on Sunday. We're going to, and physical exercise, too, to keep you mentally alert. You need to move your body. Just walk outside in this crisp. I mean, yesterday was a great day. This morning, the sun was out. Just get out and walk around the block. Mm-hmm. Thank God I have a dog. I don't think I'd walk around the neighborhood.
Right. And we're in this beautiful place where, you know, for all the heat that, you know, social media takes, there's amazing people offering their skills. I've been propping up my phone every day and jumping around doing workouts from the people who are sharing them with me.
Mm-hmm.
And movement is by far one of the best things you can do. You know, your wife saying, hey, I'm going to go clean the closet. Moving that anxious energy gives it, you know, an outlet.
Oh, yeah.
When we just sit and sort of are sedentary, we don't give it the chance to sort of move through us. So, yeah, moving any way we can, use this as an opportunity to get organized. You know, you can make the most of this in a way, you know, if we need the moments to just be and relax and breathe and process, fine. But then we have to learn to get ourselves moving because we're being good parents to ourselves. We're doing the thing we might not want to do, but we know it's good for us.
Therapist Tiffany Louise, give your website so people can check it out.
I'm at TiffanyLouise.com and Tiffany.Louise on Instagram.
I love it. You're the best. Have a great Sunday. Appreciate your time.
You too.